Oh Well. Good evening and salutations, lumberjack faithful out there in the abyss. And welcome to Pardon Me, Alex, the show with two girls who are trying really hard to be positive about this season.
Especially since my cat's literally putting his butt in my face right now. Hello.
He knows that you're not pleased about what we're about to discuss.
He's like, here I am. Here I am. This is my therapy cat for anyone who's wondering. And anytime that he can tell I'm sad or stressed or not feeling well, here he is.
Here he is. Yeah. So we're going to try and make this one a quick one. Obviously, as you can tell from the title, we're going to talk about both of the games that we recently played on this road trip. There's two more games of the four-game road trip. We're going to talk about the first two, which were versus Seattle and Utah Valley. One little piece of, I guess, happiness and smiles is today's Jelani's birthday, so...
Happy birthday, Jelani.
Happy birthday, Jelani. We heart you very mucho, and I hope you're having a wonderful birthday day pregame. And I hope tomorrow you absolutely whoop CBU's butt, considering that's the team that you transferred from. So
you got to see this. Oh. He's leaning on the armrest with his front arms.
Oh, my God. Jesus, Pete. Anyway, so yes, Mom, happy birthday to Stone. Hope he has a wonderful day. And like I said, kicks some CBU bootay tomorrow night. Let's fingers crossed. Really, really need the wins.
We do.
We really need the wins.
Very desperately. It's crunch time, guys.
Literally friggin' four games left, boys. We gotta get it going. Okay. All right. I'm all right. So, Jacqueline, let's rip this band-aid off and try to get through these two games painlessly, as painless as possible. Yes.
Yeah, let's just hop in. And to start right off the bat, we'll just tell y'all, no, Alex will completely echo my sentiment and this little gentleman right here. We're not mad. We're not like distraught. More than anything, we feel bad for the guys because this is not a fun bump in the road, and it's just not fun to talk about L's. That's it.
It's really not. Like, it's my and Jacqueline's least favorite thing to do. Not mad at all, maybe just frustrated knowing that they can play better. And I know they're frustrated. We know they're frustrated. So again, for any boys that are listening, if you are or not, who knows, you might be afraid to. We're not going to sit here and do a 1 hour bashing party, because that's just, what good will that do? Yeah. Zero, none. And that's just not how we're operating. So we're just going to keep calm and carry on and continue supporting them. That's all we can do. That's all anybody can do.
That's it.
It does no good to be a keyboard armchair coach on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and come after student athletes when they're not performing the way that you think they should be performing. And can I guarantee you that they already know that? They know that they're not performing, or the coaches know that they're not doing well. You don't have to tell them. They know. They're aware. Do you think they like losing?
Yeah. They hate it worse than any of us. I guarantee you that.
Bingo.
promise they're rehashing it and rehashing it and rehashing it in practice. So
100%. Jacqueline, my mom would like to let you know that she ordered a Jelani shirt.
Are they on his Instagram or something, like the ones that his parents were wearing?
Yes.
Okay, we need one. We need one.
Yes. She's very, 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 she, every season, this is Tessa's. Every season she picks her favorite player. Last year it was David. Well, for the last couple years, it's been our boy, David Kakorice. And then she loves AJ. AJ was her dude until he got injured. Obviously it still is his dude, her dude. But now she's been like latching on to
Jelani. Yeah. Her favorite new dude on the court.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, and I think it really sealed the deal for her when she met his family.
Yeah.
Which I mean, again, who wouldn't? So yeah. It's just funny. She's like obsessed.
I know.
It's very cute.
And we've loved every single one of our guys even more when we've met their family.
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
We've said it every episode, but to inject some love and light into this 2L episode, we've met multiple of the guys' families this season. We love them all even more. Mm-hmm. Every time we meet one of their families, and we've said it every episode, we have such a great group, and that's what sucks about having to do a 2L episode, because we feel bad for these guys, and like we know how good they are. Otherwise, we'd be like, hey, we suck. It's not a great year. But that's not the case.
Not the case at all. Yeah.
A big roadblock, and hopefully we'll knock it down tomorrow and push right through.
I agree. That's why I put under my name, cautiously optimistic about tomorrow night's game. I have a good feeling. I feel like, you know, they needed this kind of kick in the teeth. And I think also being on the road and having each other and leaning on each other through the hardships will hopefully bring them through it. So fingers crossed.
Tomorrow is a new day.
That's
my caption. So here we go. Buckle up. Let's get started. So the first portion of this episode is about the Thursday night game, which was February 22nd at Seattle U at the Red Hawk Center. This was a late one, guys. It started at 9 p.m. our time. Mm. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, anyone who knows me, I'm just a tired girl, and watching anything on television late, I'm just going to rest my eyes and then I'm asleep. And so about halfway through the second half, you know, I'm listening to Rob's voice, and he has such a great soothing radio voice, and it's a media timeout, 2-minute commercial. And I'm like, I'm just going to rest my eyes. And then I woke up and saw the ending score. So let's pull those right through. So going into this game, our background info against Seattle U, we had 2 wins and 1 loss in our matchup history going into this game. Our last matchup was January of this year at home. We won by 5 points in overtime. So like I said, going into this game, we only had 2 wins. So not many to choose from on the largest and smallest margin of victory, but the largest was 79-65 and the smallest was the 89-84 overtime win. So we will save the WAC standings and the resume seating for the next game breakdown in the second half of this episode. So our starters for this game, we had Jalil, Matt, Nana, Trell, and Cece. We did lose by 20 points, which is the score that I saw when I woke up on the couch at like midnight, 69-49. Their attendance was 932. All right, Sean Kennedy stat section. Field goal percentage, 27.8%. 3-point percentage, 20%.
Yeah.
Free throws, 69.6%. Points in the paint, we had 22. Points off turnovers, we had 10. Second chance points, we had 6. Fast break, only 7. Bench points, we had 15. Total rebounds, we had 30. We had 7 offensive boards and 23 defensive. We had 15 fouls. We did only have 12 turnovers, so that's nice. And they had 15 turnovers. We had 9 steals and 1 block. Our game leaders. I mean, they like not a lot of high scoring, but several guys had some higher stats. So I'm giving y'all 4. So we had Jalil leading the way with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. We had Matt and Frank with both 9 points. Matt also had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Frank had 3 rebounds and 1 steal. Then we had Nana with 7 points, but leading the way on rebounds with 6 and also had 1 steal. So player of the game for this game, I think Alex and I both went with the same boat on this one. Jalil leading the way in scoring, almost leading in rebounds, an assist, a steal. He was all over the place. He had a good game.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Honestly, he was the biggest playmaker in this game. The only person who rebounded more than Jalil was Nana. So it was just, my God, this game was just not a friendly game to us. It started off good. off pretty darn good, actually. And then just kind of went downhill from there. But yeah. So definitely Jalil, player of the game. We can move right into the strengths that we have.
I want to give my Robisms.
Your Robs. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot. Yes. Go ahead.
So I do have quite a few gems on both of these games from Rob. So on one of the plays, they dunked on us backdoor. Not even going to say who was guarding this person, but it was funny. What Rob said, he said, and a dunk. Coach has been telling them the last few days that was going to happen. Apparently, blank was busy when they relayed that information. Oh, God. Okay. Then he says, Jax, quite frankly, challenged offensively with this lineup on the floor. Again, won't say what lineup it was. Doesn't matter. It was just funny. Okay, we did make several comments in our Alex and I's group text with several other people about how small this gym was. Literally, y'all, I went to a 1A school back when Texas only went up to 5A. So 1A, there was 2 divisions. There was small 1A and large 1A. We were small 1A back then. Pretty sure this was about the same size as Douglas High School gym. Anywho. Oh.
Yeah.
So at one point, the ball like rolls out of bounds and it goes rolling down this hallway, like on the baseline. And Rob says, ball rolled out of the gym. Not hard to do in a cracker box here.
Oh, that's so. Oh, my God.
And then, oh, gosh, this one. And like, anybody who's listening to this should know that none of us are laughing at what happened. It's just the way that it has to be addressed, because when a player gets injured on the floor, of course, anyone who's listening, especially on the radio, they want to know what it is. Like, what was it, a wrist, an ankle, a knee? Like, what's going on? And the commentators, in this case, Rob, you know, they're trying to do their best to give you description of what's happening. And sometimes it's a little awkward to explain what happened.
What happened was, yeah.
So, Jalil's obviously, you know, not out of the game injured, but he's a little in pain, and Rob's trying to decipher what's going on and then realizes what it is, but there's only so many ways you can say this. So he's like, you know, trying to kill time, not sure what's happening, da-da-da-da-da, XYZ, yada, yada, yada. Then he's like, oh, his issue is he got hit where he doesn't like to get hit.
Where no man ever likes to get hit.
Just funny because I hate that happened to Jalil, because I can only imagine how painful that is, but it's just funny when you're the commentator and it's like, what, I mean, and you're wasting time and trying to make, you know, commentating of what's going on. And then, you know, you can't just outright say it. You got to say right. it. Nice. So anyway, that was funny. That's all my Robisms, feats of strength. So I had quite a few notes in the first like 5 minutes.
Man, I was cruising through notes. Like, it's hard to see, but like, since I was at home watching this game, I was just sitting there and just, I was like, ooh, good start. Typing away. And then I was just like, oh no. I mean, Jahlil started off hot.
Right out the gate, Jahlil, first session score.
And I was like, okay, let's freaking go. Like, this game is okay. Like, we came to freaking play. I mean, and then
Matt Steele. Session. Jelani made a really great reverse down low. Then, I mean, this is pretty much these few notes I have are in the first, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Matt hits a three that looked really great. Jahlil dunks it. Jahlil steals and makes a fast break, coast to coast.
That coast to coast fast break by Jahlil was insane. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, like I'm yelling at my parents, like, oh yeah, like let's go. We're about to run an absolute train on these people. Let's go. And then Matt loses his shoe. And literally from then on, it's like, what happened? It's like, it just completely fucked up the rhythm. I don't know. I will say
Frank made two threes. He made,
yes. He made
one three, then he made a shot clock three.
Yeah. Clayton had some good moves on defense, drawing travels. I mean, the two hand slam by Jahlil. CeCe had an absolute out of bounds, crazy rebound where he like jumped over 25 people. It felt like to get this rebound, just insane. The threes from Frank Trell with a pull up J.
Oh, that fadeaway jumper was
beautiful. I had so many great notes on Frank, on Jahlil, layups, the coast to coast, like you mentioned. And then it literally just started going downhill from there. Oh, no. Yeah.
It was the best first 5 minutes of a game we've had
in a long time.
All season, probably. And then I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, like our ass was on fire the first 5 minutes or so. And then it just really tapered off. And I really can't put a finger on it. I mean, I joked about Matt losing his shoe and then them not stopping for him to put his shoe back on. And then, but I don't know if that would really honestly was the catalyst of the loss of tempo, but something, I don't know. Something just.
It was coincidental timing, if nothing else, you know?
For sure. Oh yeah. It was just strange. It was like, when they got the game started, they were, like I said, asses on fire. And then just all of a sudden, just a flip switch. And it just completely turned around into a very negative space for the Lumberjacks. And it was just, again, we let ourselves go into a hole and couldn't dig ourselves out at all. And so it was very, very frustrating game to watch for sure.
Yeah. You got any more feats of strength? Are you ready for
Yeah, no, that was really, I mean, let's see. Do I have any more? Two hand slam. Nope, that was it.
Okay, same. All right, y'all know what's right. What's next?
With the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're gonna hear about it.
All right, Matt Postens. He was hitting a place in which a gentleman doesn't appreciate, is what you're saying. Yes, exactly. But yeah, that is a not fun experience for anyone, especially him, but also not for the commentator when
you're
trying to let everyone know. It really sucked, but give him a few minutes and he'll be back in there.
Yeah. So, like I was mentioning earlier, in grievances, like I joke because of the losing the shoe, and we left a guy open because of that for a three, and he made it and he sunk it. And I was just really upset because I honestly thought, oh my God, if someone lost a shoe, do they not like stop play sometimes? Is it subjective? Like, it's not an automatic stoppage of play? I guess not.
I think it's like rules wise subjective, especially on the timing and stuff, but I feel like most refs would stop. But
yeah, I was just really kind of frustrated with that. And so because of that, because, you know, Matt had to fix his shoe, which you have to fix your shoe and put your shoe back on. There was a guy open, and then that led to an open three, and then right in a row, multiple threes in a row. And then we just started fouling at the three again, too. And I feel like that might have been the moment where our rhythm, our hot start got extinguished, just literally threw water right onto that fire and burned it out.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that about fouling on the three, because that was literally my first grievance. And I feel like we've done it several times lately. And I know we did it at least a couple of times in this game. That is just literally like one of the cardinal sins of basketball, is not to foul on the three. Or at the very least, make sure they don't make it. I feel like every time that we foul on a three lately, like,
they still make it.
They either still make it, or they end up making enough of the three free throws they get to still make it worth like a full possession.
Right. But, yeah.
I do have two complaints about Seattle U before I go to my actual complaints. First of all, I already mentioned that. Listen, guys, I've seen every JUCO gym I've seen has been nicer than that. Like, freaking TJC got a nice ass gym, and this gym literally looked like Douglas High School. And I'm not even shitting on Douglas High School because we were small 1A, but like, this is a whack school. Where's your actual Coliseum? This was not it. Also, I'm a little, I don't understand how some of these schools can't get their like programming complete. If you're gonna put your game on ESPN Plus, please have the correct stuff on the screen. They didn't even have the foul count up on the score block. And then like after the first half, it's up there. I'm like, is this your first time?
Mm-hmm.
You're streaming on ESPN Plus. Get it together. We're in the whack. Like, put the foul count up there. I need to know how many fouls we have.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like the same situation with, you know, I mean, hell, even when we were in the Southland and we played, at the time it was, you know, HBU, their gym was the size of a pack of gum. And it was just wild being in a Division I school where the gym was literally the size of a practice gym.
That was for sure a Douglas High gym.
Right. And then you go to places, like you mentioned, some JUCOs, and their gyms are way bigger. And it's just like, what? It's very topsy-turvy and confusing. And again, no, I mean, it's not a huge, we're not trying to make fun of Seattle U or anything. Maybe they are working on getting a bigger gym. And, you know, again, we know it takes funding and money, as we well know completely. It's just kind of wild is all.
It is really wild considering SFA's had the Coliseum we've had since the 70s. Like, I make it make sense.
Right. And man, oh man, back to the grievances for this game specifically. I don't know where and how in the world, in life, in Jesus, where we at one point were one of the best, if not the best, offensive rebounding team in the WAC. I don't know, because our offensive rebounds, it seemingly seem low every single game. Either we are well and above everybody else in the WAC, which would be shocking considering we only had 7 this game. I mean, we didn't have a lot of rebounds total at all. I mean, we did, but most of them were defensive. But anyway, couldn't get an offensive rebound to save our life. The crazy aspect of these games lately has just been our shooting is just wildly, wildly off.
Yeah.
I just don't, I don't have any sort of reason, hand up, both hands up, in what to pinpoint as to why. Just all of a sudden, our shooting, our accuracy,
yeah,
is just in the toilet.
Yeah, on that note, one of my biggest grievances, and like we said on the last loss, you got to score the most points to win, and one field goal in 6 minutes will not do. That will not do.
No, it won't.
One field goal in almost half of a half will not do it, friends. That's not going to put enough points on the board.
No. I mean, and Cameron Tyson was just literally taking us to the woodshed. He had 27 points. Five threes.
He was at his game average right out of halftime. One basket out of halftime, he was at his game average.
And that's just not.
That's when I was like, all right, why do all these players keep having their, like, career-high game against us?
I know.
Choose any other game to go off? I don't understand.
And again, here's the thing. I know Seattle U is surging right now. I mean, they're playing better than us. They have a better record than us at this time when we played them last week. Like, I get that. They're 11-6 currently right now. Overall 18-10, they're doing well in the WAC. They're in third place currently. Like, and they've already shored up their road to the WAC Vegas. So, I mean, it's just a very frustrating situation when you know for a fact that these teams can be beaten. We've seen it happen. And then we just struggle in every capacity of the game and every facet of the game, missing free throws. I mean, how many alley oops did we allow that night? I lost count.
Yeah.
We just kept fouling the three line, like we mentioned. And then the second half, I literally stopped making notes in the second half because there wasn't anything of note.
Yeah. I'm not saying I know the solution. I'm just saying, I'll say it again, one field goal in 6 minutes just will not do. And I don't know if I need to go out and try to do a rain dance to cure this scoring drought, but whatever helps, I'll do it. I mean, I even had my sage candle burning. I had some crystals out. I was doing my best to give all the vibes possible. So.
You were doing your part. You were.
I was doing what I could.
Yeah. My last grievance is about the announcers. The announcers were absolute dog shit. They couldn't even say SFA correctly. Literally, when I say SFA, like meaning the letters SFA, they mispronounced almost every single player's name. They literally, I don't want to make fun of like speech impediment, but like they just could not functionally say words and names correctly throughout the entire game. And I'm just sitting here like, if you're going to have someone or multiple people do a live broadcast on ESPN Plus, you better make gosh darn sure that they know how to say the opposing team's name.
Yeah. That would pronunciation and enunciation would probably be like the top two, just like givens for credentials if you're going to commentate.
Effing minimum, you got to be able to say the team's name.
Yeah.
And we're not even asking for the full name. I'm asking for S, F, and A.
Yeah. Just a little simple acronym. I do have one defensive complaint, and I'm positive I said this in one of the last games. I just can't remember which one it was. We got to learn how to cut off the baseline on defense because I mean, it's just not hard. It's really not. That would help me help you. You know what I mean? Right. Like if you get on the baseline, then whichever teammate of yours is sagging to help defensively can trap. But if you don't, that person's just going to zoom right by you on the baseline and throw it out to the 3-point line for an open three or do a reverse layup or whatever. So I got to learn how to do that. I do have a few funny grievances about referees and players on their team. I don't even remember which ref it was, but one of the refs in this game was smacking on this piece of gum the whole game. So gross. Like, first of all, I don't think this man could chew gum and walk at the same time, but chewing gum and reffing really was just not going to work for him. And then he was literally smacking on it as the camera's zooming in on his face. And I'm like, someone please tell him to throw this gum out.
Oh, God.
Just not a good look. I don't remember exactly what happened on this play, but I made a note, shut up, Kobe Williamson. I think he was like griping to the ref a lot, and I really did not like that. And then this other guy on their team, I'm not going to shame anybody for their looks because like, do you boo? But I just think this guy had too many things going on at once. Okay. Let me count them off for you. He was a ginger with a curly mullet and a porn stash. Brother, I feel like you got to pick one of those three. Like, I just don't know if you can do all three. It was a lot going on.
Here's the thing. And Jacqueline knows this about me. So, I mean, I don't hate it. Do I think he can pull it off specifically? Unsure. But that combo together, I don't mind it.
The porn stash?
Yeah.
Real? Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm cool with gingers. No hate on gingers. Like, half my cousins are ginger.
Half my families are my gingers as well.
I'm just saying, that's unique enough. And then you got the...
Right. No, yeah. Again, I don't know if he has the swag to pull off all of those things. I also think he's Australian, which doesn't really matter whether he's Australian, but that may just be like a thing. I don't know. But just in general, I have a small thing for mullets and stashes. I don't know. Just facial hair in general, but I don't know. There are some guys that can rock a mullet and a porn stash, and I'm just like, hello.
But it was not this fella. He had two.
Going
on at once. It was a lot.
Yeah. No, I get it. If my nephew, who is a full ass ginger as well, came out with a mullet, a porn stash, and a curly mullet at that, I'd be like, son, I love you till the freaking cows come home, but this ain't doing it for you.
It's like he was choosing every hipster trend possible and putting them all together. That's a lot for me.
Man. Again, you know, but at the same time, I have to applaud his confidence in himself to try and rock that style.
Which, I mean, if he's Australian, I guess that makes sense because I feel like they're very, like they're all... I mean, whatever, stereotypes for everything, but on a whole, I think they're a very laid back, easy breezy, confident people. And I can say that because I've been there and I know a few, but anyway. All right. Ready for number two?
Yeah. If you had to say one thing about this game, one single word to wrap it up, what would it be? I just said crap. Oh, it was just big crap. Turd.
Sleepy. We'll go with that one for me because
that checks out.
That's what I did. It's hard to watch TV that late.
Oh, I know. I'm sitting over in my Chase waiting for 9 o'clock to roll around to do this episode, I passed out for like 30 minutes. Like I literally, when I texted you that I sent you the link to log on tonight, I had been awake for 5 minutes. Like I woke up just in time. The only reason why I did that is because I know myself and I set a freaking alarm. I was like, let me set an alarm. I'm getting too comfortable right here under my blankie. And I was like, I'm going to fall asleep and miss this damn podcast. And then Jacqueline and I are going to have to like triple up on episodes or something. And so like, let me set this alarm so that I wake up in time. Anyway, it was just funny because I smooth passed out.
And we're going to have to do it again tomorrow.
Okay. Anyway. Yes. Ready for number two.
8:09 PM games. All right. Second portion of this podcast episode, pardon me, Alex, we'll be covering the Saturday game, February 24th. That was at Utah Valley. Wonderful friend Kyle's school at the UCCU Center in Orem. See, that was a tongue twister of an acronym, and I said it, so I don't know why they were having trouble with SBA. But anywho, going into the game against Utah Valley, our matchup history was 2 wins and 1 loss. Our last matchup was not that long ago, February 1st, beginning of this month, and we did win 77-72 at home. We only had 2 wins going into this game, so toss up between largest and smallest margin of victory. The largest was we beat them 78-59. And then the smallest was the win in February where we won by 5 points. All right, my dear, would you like to catch us up in the like standing and the resume seating?
I really wouldn't, but I have to. So regular standings, not great. It seems just like yesterday in the regular standings, we were in the second spot behind Grand Canyon. But oh, how the mighty have fallen. Because now we are in, like, count off for you, 7th place in the regular WAC standings in a 3-way tie. Well, I guess it might be a 3-way tie for 6th place. Let's say that. With CBU, us, and Abilene Christian. So that's where we're at in the regular standings. But of course, as we know, the WAC doesn't use that for seeding for WAC Vegas. So we flip on over to the resume seating. Now, this is where things get a little sticky. The last update for this was on the 25th, which was 3 days ago. Obviously, there hasn't been any games as of yet, so nothing has happened currently. So this is where we're at with no pending changes. Tomorrow night, things will change, I'm sure. So at the moment, Grand Canyon, Tarleton State, Seattle U are already in WAC Vegas. They've clinched a berth. They're in. From that, there's only 8 teams going, so 5 more teams get the chance. In the 4th seat so far is UT Arlington. Number 5 is Utah Valley. And coming in at number 6 is us with -2.29 WAC points. Here's where things get... Here's where things get a little contentious and nerve-wracking. So we are currently in 6th. The team that is currently in 7th is CBU, who we play tomorrow. CBU is at -3.21 points. Now, again, I don't know how... points are calculated on the crazy metric scale, this, that, all these things. Either points are earned or points are whatever, lost. So obviously from here on out, we got to win. Got to win games here. We're in the 6th seed at the moment. Only 8 teams go to WAC Vegas. Can't afford much more losses because if we do lose... Let's just play devil's advocate. If we lose out, the chances of going to WAC Vegas are very, 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 very slim. Very slim. if we got four games left and only lose one more out of the four, I think we're going to be good. I think we'll be okay. Again, I don't know how they'd calculate, but considering the team that's currently in eighth place is Abilene Christian, and they're at 3.21 points, negative 3.21 points, and we're at 2.29 points. I think, that's a whole 1 point difference. I think it would, honestly, we would have to literally lose everything all the way out. And then the person in ninth place has negative four points. Southern Utah has negative 6 points, and UTRGV has negative 9 points. So I don't foresee many of the bottom teams moving up. Honestly, yeah. we're in control of our own destiny. We always have been. So as long as we either win out or win the next three out of four, I think we'll be okay. Again, this is not science. This is me just taking a stab at this.
Yes, Melvin, time for some W's.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids are so clingy, I swear.
And they know you're upset.
Giving the support right now. Okay, thank you for that. So let's, fingers crossed. We got a little bit of breathing room, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
Now they both want to mount up at the same time. There's not room. All right.
Yeah.
Gotta launch into this game. We got, for the Utah Valley game, our starting lineup was Nana, Trill, Jahlil, Matt, and CeCe. We did lose 71-62. The attendance there at Utah Valley was 2,357. Sean Kennedy stat section, they were mostly looking a little better. Still not great, but hey, onwards and upwards. Field goal percentage was 38.9%. 3-point percentage was 33.3%. Our free throw percentage was at 100, but that is because Nana was 6 of 6, Matt was 2 of 2, Frank was 2 of 2.
That's it. We had 12. That's it.
So, oh, and Trell. Sorry. I was like, that does not add up to 12. So Trell, Matt, and Frank were 2 for 2. Nana was 6 of 6. Amazing. Love to see it.
Daryl says the regular season record top 8 gets in. Then the field is seeded according to the records. I don't know how this works, Daryl. I don't know. I thought it just went by the WAC resume seeding. I don't. Well, and if that's the case, then we are even in worse position than I thought. I legit thought it was just based off the freaking resume seating. That's why I didn't give a crap about where we were in the standings. But I don't know how this works, clearly. Okay. Maybe if we didn't have two freaking systems, then I wouldn't be confused.
That does not make sense. I just never paid enough attention to it. And honestly, we've never been this close of not making it. So I haven't had to. Cool. Okay. Well, full steam ahead. Let me recalibrate here. Sean Kennedy stat section. Points in the paint, we only have 14. That's a problem.
Last game, 14 points in the paint is...
The last game, I think it was 22, and that was already, like, frighteningly low. 14, no, not going to make it. Points off turnovers, 19. Second chance points, 13. Fast break points, 6. Bench points, 11. We had 29 total rebounds, 11 offensive and 18 defensive. Oh, we had 14 fouls. Get ready for the turnovers. We had 18. Utah Valley also had 18. So at least we were evenly matched on that.
Mm.
If nothing else. Steals, we had 12. Blocks, we had 5. Game leaders, we had Nana with 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 assist, 1 block. Trell, we had 16 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. Jahlil, we had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 1 block. So, Alex, who was your player of the game?
My player of the game, I decided to go with my sweet baby, my ride or die, Trell. Nana had a great game. He put up some great numbers. Trell was just honestly right there with him, and was fighting tooth and nail, absolutely just trying to keep us in the game. Love his three assists. He was close to fouling out, which I'm glad he didn't. But again, I love Trell's hustle, and I love whenever he's in the game and playing well and shooting well. And, yeah, I would have loved a couple more of his threes to go in, would have put us a little bit closer to getting the dub, but all in all, love Trell, love Nana, Jaleel with his 12 points as well.
Jaleel just a hair away from another double-double there.
Absolutely. Super close to a double-double. Another guy who had a decent scoring game. I mean, for the time he was in, and I mean, we had those three double point era, you know, double scores. Jesus Christ. 2 points.
Double digit.
God, I can't talk. Double digit scorers. Then we got Frank, with 7. So, I mean, again, we had some guys out there hustling, trying to keep us in the game. But, yeah, who was your player of the game?
I agree. Trell played fantastically. I went with Nana for this one. He has been every category. And you know what? I am gonna give a little bit of kudos to Utah Valley on this. Their two big men are really good. They really are. Potter is really good. And what's that 7-footer's name? I can't remember. Dorius.
Trevor. Dorius.
Anyway. Yeah.
32.
Yeah, those two are great. And I mean, God, Ethan Potter is very good. He is very consistent. If he gets it anywhere near the basket, he is going to make it. There's nothing you can do, no matter how well you guard him. He's just unstoppable. And that Dorius dude, man, I mean, he didn't score as many points as Ethan Potter, but holy shit, that dude is 7 feet tall. You could tell, because like sometimes we'll look at the roster and be like bullshit on their height. You know, this dude is legit 7 foot tall, because when I was standing beside him, you could tell there was at least 3 inches of difference, and that's a lot. And that is very hard to defend. So kudos to Nana for playing, you know, a great game and being the lead scorer in a game where their two big men were just really unconscious and good.
Yeah, absolutely. Woof. It's hard when you got good players like that who are, again, just kind of streaking at the right time. It's hard to go against them. It's hard to beat them, you know. It's where the cookie crumbles, honestly. They were good down there in the paint. What are you going to do?
What, in fact? All right.
I mean, considering, again, they had 36 points in the paint and to our 14, they were just taking over the paint, which is where we normally are and where we normally are taking over. So it's just, you know, it's a game of numbers. And like Jacqueline always says, you got to score points and score the most to win the game. And we just, you know, just didn't have it this game either.
We did not, but let's take a moment to breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4. Okay. Still on the bright side, our field goal percentage, still not great, but it was up.
It was.
Percentage, still not great, but it was up.
It was.
Free throw percentage, 100%. I mean, we only got 12, which is not like the most amount of free throws, but that's a decent amount of free throws. Like it wouldn't really be much to say, oh, we were 100% on free throws if we had, like, say, 4.
Right.
To have 12 and be 100%, that's really great. I'm very impressed. I'm very happy. We did not leave any free points on the table. So amen for that. I feel like that is, if we can hold on to that, that is going to come in handy later on, because out of the last couple of losses we've had, there were several that were just within a few points, and we left at least like 10 free throws on the table. So
right.
Let's keep that going. Let's see. We evenly match them on rebounds and turnovers, even though I'm not happy with the numbers we had on either of them. We didn't get more or less than them, so.
Yeah, I agree. We also didn't have anybody foul out, which is nice. That's definitely a positive.
Always perfect.
Right. And no technical fouls. We also improved on our offensive rebounds this game. Last game only had 7. This game we had 11. So I'll take that as a good improvement. Let's see here. We also, scrolling to compare and contrast. We almost had the exact same points off turnovers they did. They had 21 and we had 19. So that was pretty close.
Pretty close. I will take that.
I will take that as well. Pretty darn close. But yeah, I'll take some of the wins where it was. I think this game, even though we didn't win, I do think it was played better than the first game. I think there was a lot more hustle. We obviously, yes, again, shot better than the last game, which of course is happy, and that's an improvement. Still not great that we didn't win, but yeah, I still think that was nice to see. Sucked for me. Well, I'll save that for grievances.
Yeah, we were on the way up. Okay. Oh, I forgot my Robisms. I'll do that as our segue into the airing of grievances.
Go for it.
I only put down one for this game, but it was really good. And it actually really closely aligned with something that you said during the first game. So Rob said, they've dug themselves quite a hole. And you know what Lou Holt says, once you dig a hole, stop digging.
He's so good. He's so good.
What I always say is put the shovel down and back away. But I do think, like we said in our feats of strength, it was less worse than Thursday night. So
yes, that's a positive.
I think we're climbing up, and tomorrow, you know, we'll climb up a few more rungs and we'll be back at it.
Right.
So here's the final Seinfeld injection you get tonight.
With the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
You. Getting real tired of these 9 o'clock games. This one wasn't, but the next game is. Yeah. My biggest grievance is not being able to watch the game. So this game I had to work at the brewery during the game. Again, that's usually not a big problem because we have TVs now all over the brewery. And while I'm behind the bar, I can watch the TV in front of me, especially if it's not super busy. Well, this day was an absolute wild day at the brewery. It was probably the busiest day we've had in 5 months. All happened on this one day. And on top of that, it was literally the line was out the door into the beer garden. If you've gone to the brewery, you know what I'm talking about. Into the beer garden and to the pizza kitchen for 4 hours. So I couldn't watch the game because on top of that crazy line, our internet was malfunctioning. So I had to turn off all the TVs.
Suddenlink Optimum over there at the brewery. Is that what it is?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to turn all the TVs off to lessen the streaming Wi-Fi pool output. That didn't work. So literally, in order for us to make any money, I had to turn my hotspot on my phone and hook up 4 different point of sale terminals to my phone in order for us to tap people out and create tabs. So I couldn't even watch the game on my phone. That's so, yeah. I mean, again, not like it was you know, a huge upset win, and I was just pissed off that I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it live, and it stunk, but it's, I mean, it's not the end of the world. It was just very frustrating that I couldn't watch it, or at least like glance up every couple minutes to like see how we're doing. Anyway.
Yeah. Melvin, turnovers and not defending the three is most of the issue. We correct that and we're okay. I think that and scoring would be really helpful, you know?
Yeah, putting
some points on the board would be really helpful. But yeah, I think we've been on a little bit of a scoring drought lately. Don't know why.
Accuracy is just so
hopefully Stella can get her group back or whatever, you know.
Nice reference. You're doing a lot of like pop culture references tonight, and I'm very proud of you.
I just had a housewife reference that is so good. I know it does not appeal to our audience at all, and even Alex is probably not gonna get it, but when you were just saying how we're doing, and there's a very infamous Real Housewives of New York City moment where someone says, "How are you doing?" And this woman says, "Not well, bitch. Not well."
I don't know. That's great. I don't know what that is, but I love the quote.
I will definitely find the clip and send it to you.
I love the quote. I think that's pretty much spot on to how we're doing currently. Not well, bitch. Not well.
But tomorrow is a new day.
Tomorrow is a new day. Cautiously optimistic. Cautiously optimistic. I am also, so this is funny. I have to give a quick little, this is not a grievance, by the way. Tomorrow at trivia, since I'll be able to go to trivia for the first time in like a month because basketball is away.
And not 9 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll be able to go to trivia, and the intermission round is about African countries. So I've literally been studying and quizzing myself on African countries for the past 4 days. So now I can, with 100% confidence, tell you exactly where Ghana is. So Nana from Ghana, I know.
Yeah.
I know where you're from. I can point it out on a map. I can't tell you what the capital is, but I can sure as shit tell you where it's at.
Can you point out Tunisia?
I can, because of you.
And you remember the capital. It's really easy.
Oh, hold on. Tunisia? No.
You're very close.
Yeah, like it has like Tunisia kind of sounding.
Tunis.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, I was like, okay. The Northern African countries I have down packed, and most of the capital is down packed. Thank God this is not about, the quiz isn't about capitals, because I'd be out. But if it was just Northern Africa countries with capitals, I'd be fine. I mean, Algiers, like that's got that one. Morocco, like it's like Barat or something, Beirut, something like that. Got that. Cairo, Egypt, got that. Anyway, everything else? I knew Mogadishu.
That's just such a fun name, I feel like. I don't know why, I just love
the
it.
The literal worst, again, if anybody's from Somalia, no offense, but legitimately, Somalia is one of the worst. Pirates. Mogadishu is not the best fucking city ever. It is so bad.
Such a fun name. I don't know.
It's a great name, but holy crap, is it a dangerous city.
I would probably still go there, but.
Ma'am, no. No, because you will get taken by pirates. No. No.
I certainly don't want to be taken.
No. Tunisia no. is about as good as you're going to get, babe. No.
Oh, what grievances do we have on this game?
We lost. That's my grievance.
Same, I think. I don't even want to get more specific.
Let's see. Obviously, the L is a big grievance for me. Another grievance is the I don't love the amount of turnovers or the amount of fouls. We've had worse, but I mean, it's not like they did any better on turnovers. We matched them. But I think the main thing that really, really, really irks me was the fast break points and the points in the paint. They had the 36 and we had 14 points in the paint. That's just abysmal from us, honestly. I don't think I've seen that low of a number points in the paint wise in – it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Not good.
I think those were, like, my two main grievances. Other than, God, dog, I really hate – I mean, you got CC in playing for 18 minutes, no points whatsoever. Another player that needs to play more is Jelani and Miles. I mean,
I know
they played Jelani 11 minutes, scored 2 points. Like, we've seen Jelani when he gets let loose in the game, he plays great defense under the basket. He's so great at blocking out and boxing out. And Miles, he just needs more time. He's so dangerous when you give the kid more time to get comfortable in the game. He is probably one of the most athletic people on our team other than maybe CC.
I agree. And he only played 4 minutes and he scored 2 points. And
could you imagine if they left him in longer?
Anything that puts some more points on the board is a great idea. Whatever it is, let's do it.
I agree. But yeah, those are my main like issues is just the amount of time some of these players are getting in the game for is just not really, we got to change something, got to switch something up here. So whatever that needs to be, it needs to be.
I agree.
I would also like to point out that I'm getting some of these, I would just like to point out that I'm even getting these tiny countries off the fuck. Oh shit. No! I messed up.
That was the Michael Scott no.
No! Man, it messed up my map. Okay, some of these countries, these tiny little countries, and you can't see them, but there's like all these tiny little countries that are islands off in the cup. I'm getting them right, baby. Anyway, okay.
I'm very proud of you. Okay, I will end on one last good note because I forgot to specifically mention this in my feats of strength whenever I was talking about Nana off my player of the game. But
yeah,
as we said, they had Utah Valley has two really great post players. One of them 3 inches taller than Nana, which is very abnormal.
Right.
And Nana really adapted this game. He made 3 3-pointers. You know, if you're going up against a guy that's quite a bit taller than you in the lane and you can shoot a three, come on out here, bud.
Guess what country just popped up? Ghana. Ghana.
Love it. Love it.
I love when our big guys take a three and make it. It just gives me so much joy and happiness.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
I agree. It's just hilarious. I love it. All right, Jacqueline. So any more? Mm-mm. All right. So one word to describe the game, would you go with?
You said it earlier. Woof.
Woof is right. Let's see. I went with, I just put a little hyphen in the middle here. Oh no. Mainly it's just because, again, it was a game that was easily winnable, but we dug ourselves into the hole that could not come out. We played better, just not enough to get out of the hole, unfortunately.
We tried.
Frustrating. It's just frustrating. All right. Well, that's about it for this episode of Pardon Me, Alex. We've talked enough about the L's. We're ready for that brand new day tomorrow. We're ready for new opportunities, and we are both cautiously optimistic for tomorrow's basketball games. I would like to give a shout out to the girls for clinching their berth to WAC Vegas. So good job, Lady Jacks. Very proud of y'all. We will see you in Vegas. Let's get it going. So quick shout out to them. But yeah, so we just need to keep on trucking. The Fat Lady has not sung yet. There are four games left in the season. All four are winnable games. I mean, yes, one of them is GCU, but we've already played them this season and we almost won. So they are beatable. Other teams have beat them this season. So it's not like they're untouchable. They are beatable. So four games left this season, three out of the four, easily winnable. The GCU game is winnable, just not as, to be honest. But anyway, we have to finish strong. That there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Got to finish strong and finish on a high note as well.
Yes, absolutely. Tomorrow, everybody take your afternoon cat nap because this game isn't going to tip off till 9 p.m.
Yay!
Don't rush. I have no idea what my cats are doing right now. Don't rest your eyes during the media timeout like I do, or the golden voice of the Jacks will just lull you right to sleep.
Oh, man. Yeah, don't do that. Take a long nap tomorrow afternoon so that way you're nice and fresh as a daisy for the night game. You're going to have to. Oh, man. All right, y'all. Again, thank you so much for listening. I know that probably wasn't the easiest to listen to. Talking about losses never is. It's not fun for us, nor is it fun, I'm sure, for the Jacks. So we hope you have a wonderful night. It is a little chilly out. It was cold and blustery all day today. So stay warm. We hope you have a wonderful day tomorrow. And fingers crossed, wear your purple, cheer on your Jacks to victory tomorrow night from wherever you're at. Please don't give up on them. We haven't. And just stick with it. We're almost there. I can feel it. We're going to break through this crazy, crazy adversity challenge that we're going through right now. So we love you. And in how many days will we be in WACFIT? 14 days. I'm so behind. I'm so behind. But anyway, we love you guys. And we hope you have a fantastic night. And as always, Axe M. Jax.
With Alex and Jax.